Okay, what I'm going to show you today is a good part of my PhD studies that I've done in Australia at the University of Queensland. So who cares about canopy mite? There's a fair few people that cares a lot and publish a lot. Especially these days, Zoelindo is doing good on that. In Japan, Shige Karazawa is doing good too, and others, but more in the past. And I guess that Terry Wynn has something to do with the motivation of the people working on canopy mites these days. Because, well, why do they care so much? I'm sure their motivation varies, or the top priority varies, but one would be to explore the unknown diversity of mites, you know, like in rainforest, and to be able to say, I've been in the rainforest. At least that was one of my reasons. One is to study habitat partitioning, because it's kind of fun. And really, maybe to answer the to test or study the determinants of species ecological distribution. Then maybe you can hand wave about local and global diversity estimates like Terwin did, but this is quite fun too. Then maybe you, because ultimately you want to protect the forest, and I'm sure we care at least a little bit about that. So, but one, I think, keystone paper, I think it is, was this one, Mites in the Mist, How Unique is a Rainforest Canopy Knockdown Fauna? And this was led by David Walter. He looks a bit mean on that, but he's softened these days, don't worry. Maybe that was his wife. So basically, his results were suggesting that I tried to use the pointer, but...
No, you don't need that.
No? Okay. Okay, so basically that he was suggesting that every habitat in the canopy had a unique fauna, you know, especially compared to the forest floor. But still, among canopy habitats, it was relatively distinct. Indeed, there's a lot of habitats in the canopy for mites, and there's a lot of species in there. Well, one is particularly diverse is suspended soil. So whether it's moss mats or litter accumulated in large epiphytes, you have a lot of species in there. So in Japan, in three ferns, there was 124 species of mites in only three ferns, so that's quite diverse. So I guess the logical question is this mite fauna in suspended soil different from the fauna on the forest floor, despite quite a similarity in the substrate, you know? So I've studied mites in suspended soil collected in bird's nest ferns, which are these ferns, very common in Australia, also in Southeast Asia, and they accumulate so much soil that there's several tons of soil in per hectare. In Australia, a bit less than that, but at least in Southeast Asia, where the ferns are huge. So I went to collect suspended soil in Australia, mostly in Lamington National Park in Southeast Queensland. So I had to learn a bit of archery, or the basic archery. I'm still aiming too much left, but anyway, to set up my climbing ropes, okay? And then I learned the single rope technique just to climb the trees and collect the suspended soil in the ferns. I focused on mesostigs, though I excluded a few toughest groups like Europodoids. And I studied those because I guess Dave Walter was studying that, but also maybe to ask the hypothesis because they tend to be opportunistic, vagile predators, I think, you know, you could test the hypothesis that they'd be similar to the forest floor, or at least a subset of the forest floor. So here it shows that, well, in terms of number of species, the forest floor is about twice as diverse as the suspended soil. And that's not so surprising. And most of the species are undescribed, 85% actually. In terms of species composition, you indeed have two different communities. The forest floor is quite different from the suspended soil, And yeah, so that answers roughly the question, okay? So it's a suspended soil has relatively unique fauna. Now, if you look at the numbers beside the red dots, the suspended soil samples, it's the height in meters at which the ferns were collected. And I expected a pattern with the low samples, with 1, 2, or 3 meters high, being close to the forest floor samples, but it's not the case at all. Actually, even you can get the high samples, like 17 and 11 meters high sample near the forest floor. Basically, there's no pattern with the height, okay? So it's one, apparently so far, homogeneous community. Same thing in my second site. Very distinct communities with no pattern about the height. If we look at the individual frequency of species, so in left you have the species codes, okay? And you have the bars represent the frequency or the numbers or the percentage of samples in which each species were found, whether it's suspended soil samples in red or forest floor in green. So basically, you see that there are some species that are very common in suspended soil and quite rare in forest floor. And vice versa, there's some species very common in forest floor, in the bottom, and quite rare in suspended soil. And then there's some species that are common in both habitats, the generalists I'd call them. Now, if we look at the vertical distribution of these common species, so now it's a bit different. The x-axis, it's the species names, okay? So each column is a species, and the y-axis is the height at which the suspended soil was collected. So what you see is that the circles, each circle represents a suspended soil that was collected from a bird's nest fern on a tree trunk. But then these small triangles in the bottom are suspended soil taken from bird's nest fern that were attached to boulders, okay? So very near the ground, at 0.5 meters or so. Now, if you had a species in every single suspended soil, it would show this pattern on the left, okay? If we look at the suspended soil specialist, they had a similar pattern. So basically, they were found more or less throughout the vertical profile of the forest, from 0.5 meters to 21 meters, except maybe the three last species. The generalists had a similar pattern. They were more or less found throughout the vertical profile as well. Then the ground specialists were barely ever in suspended soil, okay, no surprise, that's by definition. But when they occurred in suspended soil, it was only very near the ground, like at 1 or 2 meters, including in suspended soil on boulders. But so did the suspended soil specialists and generalists. So basically, you have two communities, one above ground, from 0.5 meters to up the trees, dominated by suspended soil specialists and generalists. And then you have the community underground, dominated by ground specialists and generalists. And there was an interesting taxonomic pattern. Within some genera, there was both suspended soil specialists and ground specialists, like in, especially in oligomazid genera, like in Atiazella, Calyphus, Stratulilaps, and Gamacyphis. And sometimes, well, at first, for example, Gamacyphis, I thought there was only one generalist, but I looked a bit, and especially the genital characters, and I understood that they were many specialists instead of one generalist. So I'd say that within, well, some specialists or somewhat cryptic species. Okay. So I pushed the question a little bit, and I asked, do these suspended soil specialists have a preference for a type of suspended soil or a certain type of epiphyte? So I based most of my results so far on the bird's nest fern on the upper left. But I collected a little bit of other types, opportunistically. Mostly the elkhorn on the right and suspended soil in tree fork, which had nothing to do with epiphytes. It was just humus and litter on a tree fork. Now, if we look again at this graph, and we'll only use the suspended soil specialist data, okay? So just to remind you that. But then we'll look at their distribution in other types of suspended soil. And what we see is that 5 species were found in elkhorn ferns on the left. 5 others were found in tree forks, or litter in tree forks. And then they were also found in fallen epiphytes. No surprise, most species were found in fallen bird's nest ferns because it's the same epiphyte that I collected up in the canopy. But 3 were also found in fallen elkhorns. Okay. So basically, this suggests that some suspended soil specialists, or in fact, suspended soil generalists, not really caring about the type of suspended soil, but as long as it is suspended soil. I went to collect different types of suspended soil, which I call low suspended soil, but that is litter or humus accumulated on the surface of logs or boulders. And boulders are not arboreal at all, okay? Well, obviously, but just keep that in mind. So, taking these guys again, if we look at their distribution on in low suspended soil, there's five species that were found in litter on logs and nine species in litter on boulders. And five species were significantly more common there in low suspended soil than on the ground of rainforest, which is shown in the green on the bottom, upper left. So basically, what many, at least many suspended soil specialists are not arboreal specialists, okay? Maybe that sounds less stupid now. Okay, now I pushed a bit the question more, and I asked, all these canopy specialists found also outside rainforest. So to answer that, I sampled the edge of rainforest and the ground of open forest with various understory. And that's an open forest with a grassy understory. Obviously much more open than a rainforest, so you'd expect a drier ground. Okay, so their distribution in these habitats, well, there was 10 species that were found on the ground of open forest or rainforest edge. And five were significantly more common there than on the ground of rainforest. So, well, the suspended soil dwellers, not specialists anymore, or definitely not specialists, because they are associated with the ground of more open habitats. So maybe, in fact, they are rainforest floor avoiders instead of canopy specialists. So what drives this ecological pattern? I don't really know. But as Zoe pointed out, microclimate is dry in suspended soil, but also in open forest, probably. So you'd expect that these species are more tolerant to drier climate or higher fluctuations in microclimate. Then the patchiness of suspended soil has probably something to do. And so you could hypothesize that many of these species are phoritic. But if we look at our 15 suspended soil dwellers, there's only one that I know that is phoritic, it's the second one, and it's actually phoritic on rodents. But four other species, they have congeners phoritic on insects. So yeah, okay, there could be a phoritic pattern, but the other species, it's quite likely that they are not phoritic. So I think they would use crawling to disperse, but whether they crawl back up, I don't know. But they probably don't use foraging. Now, maybe there's a feeding preference difference, you know. So maybe some these species prefer some habitat-specific prey living only in suspended soil or other habitats. But of course, mesosticks tend to be opportunistic predators, we could say, but I have a bit of data supporting that. In on the left, the black pluses are personal observations of these species feeding on either nematodes, springtails, mites, insects, or crushed insects. So there's five or six species there that do feed on these very common prey that are found very commonly in suspended soil or the forest floor. In red, it's species that have congeners feeding on these prey. So, well, basically, I just think it's unlikely that the feeding preference drive this habitat specificity pattern. Now, I know even less about that, but maybe there's some sort of a higher competition or predation pressure on the forest floor, driving the more sensitive species out. But I guess we'd have to test that. I won't say further. Well, in summary, you have a major dichotomy between the ground and above ground soil habitats. And maybe something like 20% of a rainforest soil mite diversity is found above ground. However, because these mites are also found in non-arboreal habitats and on the ground of more open forest. Then, maybe true arboreal or canopy soil specialist or rare. And maybe canopy soil fauna is not that unique. Now, this is a little bit a side question, but because I have a bit of time, I wanted to say a word on local endemism and the putative hyperdiversity of mites. Here you see the number of species that are found, number of species of Atiazela, this Sologamazid genus, that are found in each locality that are sampled in eastern Australia. So these are all rainforest sites, okay? And the square is southeast Queensland. You have 24 species in Lamington National Park, and that's normal that you have many more species there. It's because I sampled much more. But now my question is, how many species were found in more than one locality? The answer is one. I found only one species in more than one locality, in two localities that were pretty close together. So basically, even 100 kilometers apart, like these two rainforests in the south of southeast Queensland with 24 and 5 species, well, 100 kilometers is enough to have a quite distinct fauna. And people could doubt this pattern because you'd say you'd collect more, you'll get species that are found in many localities. Of course, that will happen. But these 24 species are probably pretty much the fauna in Lamington, so that's more or less exhaustive, I believe. And the 5 species on the left, it's common species, so I do believe in this pattern. So now you have 54 species of Atiazela here, all undescribed. There's 2 described species in Australia, but from South Australia, so they are not there. So there's certainly more than 50 species of Atiazela in Australia. There's probably hundreds because of this high local endemism. So now if we look at all mesostigs, so in Lamington National Park, I collected 228 species, and that's probably getting close to what's really living there. Though this doesn't count the parasitic mesostigs nor the uropodoids, and this was mostly undescribed. Now, if we add these other localities in the little square in southeast Queensland, then the number of species increase very steeply. And to reach, well, a number that is not so higher, but it's because I didn't collect so much individuals, okay? The x-axis, it's the number of individuals. So if I collect much more, then in southeast Queensland, it's very likely that I'll get much more than 332 species. Well, I'd guess 1,000. Now, there's about 700 species of mesostigmatic mites described in Australia, and this includes the parasites. Well, a quick hand waving that I'll do is that there's 5,000 species of mesostig species in Australia. And that fits pretty well into the estimate of Halliday, O'Connor, and Baker that said that there was probably at least 20,000 species of mites in Australia. Now in the world, I'd be pretty comfortable to say that Walter and Proctor were right with their estimate, with 500,000 to 1,000,000 species of mites in the world. But I guess that's the hand waving I'll do today. So there's a lot of work to do. Thanks. Any question?
Fred, 2 years ago, I offered Zoe the world of neotropical mites, and so far she hasn't bit. But if you find my postdoc, C.J. Girassi, who just had to run off, she was here, she just had to run off to another talk. But if you find her during the meeting and talk about the really neat things we're doing with satellite imagery and so forth on our plots in Ecuador, invite you down to the museum, drag Zoe along if you can, and look at about a billion mites and far more diversity than Australia in 2 hours.
I believe you. Okay, thanks. Terry, maybe first.
Fred, I was intrigued by that repeated pattern of species within the same genus that were in suspended soils and on the ground. I don't know if anybody's in a position to answer that yet, but is there any sense of the phylogenetic pattern within those genera? In other words, are the suspended soil species members of one clade and then the ground dwelling species another clade, or do you get sister species pair sort of up and down?
Yeah, that's a remaining question. I'd have to sit and do an analysis, but I'm not sure if I'll get to anywhere. But indeed, I have, for example. That's right. But there are some canopy and ground. I mean, I've seen a couple. What I mean is that paired one species, what canopy specialist is very close to one ground, you know? So I'd say that this was one evolution, possibly, you know, of canopy specialization or something like that.
So you need to see if that pattern is phylogenetically nested.
Yeah.
I study neotropical ants in the leaf litter, and I found a similar pattern of, you know, within genera, the species that were in suspended soil were different from the species on the ground. And one situation I have in Costa Rica is a pair of species where one of them in the lowlands, in La Selva, is on the forest floor in the litter, and as you go up in elevation and up on a mountainside, that species becomes a suspended soil species. Canopy, and a second species comes in on the ground. And I was wondering if you'd seen any sort of elevational patterns like that, or one of your taxing changes what it is depending on where it is.
So can you repeat that? You got species on the floor, some in the suspended soil, and then.
Let's say it again.
I wanna understand more clearly your question. So you have some only in the forest floor, some in the suspended soil, and then.
So I have a pair of species. Background, I found that across various ant genera, you see the same pattern. Or within a genus, you have some species, you know, congeners. Some of them are on the forest floor, your forest floor animals, and some of them are suspended soil species. I had a paper in Psyche about that back in the 80s.
I know who you are now.
One thing that came out with this one genus, Dynama, is I have a situation where one species is in the lowlands, and lowland rainforest is on the ground. And then as I go up in elevation, if I go up in the cloud forest, that same species then becomes a suspended soil species, and a second species comes in that is on the ground, kind of replacing the first one.
So you're supporting my hypothesis that canopy specialists are rare.
Yeah.
You know, some of these species are found in other sites, and one canopy specialist, or two even, tend to be and go down a little bit on the forest floor. So indeed, I don't know about lowland versus highland, but we have to study the microclimate and what's making these habitats similar, because they probably found these what they really like in these habitats, right? Suspended soil and lowland ground. So they are specialized in habitats, but what are the conditions that they really like? Yeah, but I didn't see this pattern.